one do I have?
That's a joke.
Oh man, thank you, brother. I appreciate you setting me up so favorably with this crowd here. Well, some of them are smiling though. Some of them. Put that smile on, girl. Always smiling. Okay, for those of you who don't know me, I'm a much kinder and gentler person than your principal. Years in the military has made me soft and kind and compassionate. Just ask my children, hey, watch what you're saying about me, young lady. She's already back there bad-mouthing me. What's going on with this thing? Austin. Take out your swords. Let me see them. Somebody tell me why we call it a sword. Andrew, thank you for volunteering. This is the way the military works. You're volunteering right now to tell me why it's called a sword. Where is your sword? Uh-oh. Oh, man. Colton, you got something for me? Why do we call it a sword? You may put your sword down. Okay. Where is that? Anybody know where that's found? 4:12, good job, good job. Anybody know another verse that talks about the Bible being our sword? I'll give you a hint, it's in Ephesians. All right, find it. Somebody find it for me. Quick, come on, let's go. Use that sword. This is your weapon. Hey, when you're in the military, you carry that weapon with you all the time when you are training. We're training here, that's what chapel's about. Training you. Ephesians 6:17. Very good. All right, so we got your swords. Now, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Who's going to quote verse 1 and 2 for me? Somebody quote it. Close your Bible up, stand up and quote. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Besides your principle. All right, Andrew. And. One more help. Conformed. Not. Be not conformed. Somebody got verse 2? All right. There's one for one verse. Okay. All right. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. Say aloud, will of God. How many of you already know what you want to do when you get, some of you got a long time to go before you're done with school. But how many of you already know, I mean a long, long time to go before you're done with school. Some of you only have a little bit of time to go before you're done with school. How many of you already know what you want to do when you're done with school? All right, Jordan. What are you going to do? Graphic design. Somehow I can see that. Okay? Going to be a missionary. Amen. Anybody else? Got an idea? In my job right now, I talk to young men and women that are right out of high school, and they come talk to me about possibly joining the Air Force and finding out what Air Force ROTC is all about. And I speak to two different kinds. I speak to the kind like, what's your name again?
Trevor.
Like Trevor, I knew that. Stand up, Trevor. I speak to the kind like Trevor that come in, oh, come on. Trevor comes into my office without his parents, clean-cut, sharp young man, knows exactly what he wants to do with his life. Trevor sits down at my desk and I say, Trevor, so tell me, what do you want to do with your life? Trevor says, I want to join the Air Force and be a pilot.
I want to join the Air Force and be a pilot.
I said, that's great. How are you going to accomplish that, Trevor?
I'm going to get my degree in engineering.
Then I'm going to be a pilot.
And
he has it all laid out. Go sit down, Trevor. Thank you. What a wonderful young man who has that all figured out. Nobody wants to make eye contact. Don't make eye contact and he won't pick you. That's wrong. Raceland, how are you this morning? You made the mistake of making eye contact. Come up here, buddy. And Raceland comes in and I said, Raceland, what do you want to do with your life? Why are you coming to see me? You sit down. Say loud.
Parents told me to come here.
My parents told me to come here. Do you know how many people I have come in because their parents dragged them into my office? It's like, make something out of my boy. I get a lot of them. Raceland, go sit down. Thank you. I two kinds of people I talk to. I talk to people that have purpose, and I talk to people that have no purpose. They've not decided to do anything. What I want to tell you this morning, one of the things I want to tell you this morning, is that God has a purpose for your life.
Right.
Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 talks about good, acceptable, and perfect will of God.
Yep.
How many of you in here this morning are saved?
David.
I hope everybody in here is saved. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know that you're going to heaven when you die. Romans 8 and verse 28 says, "For and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for those that love Him. God has a purpose for those that He has saved. In 2 Timothy 1:9, He says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace." God has a purpose for each and every one of you. God has a very specific purpose. God had a purpose for Joseph. Somebody tell me a little bit about Joseph. Not Joseph the carpenter, Joseph of the Old Testament. Tell me what you know about Joseph. I'm interactive, so you're all going to have to help me out, okay? All right, somebody else. Come on, somebody. Joseph of the Old Testament, coat of many colors. All right, stand up. Tell me a little bit about Joseph. He was sold into slavery, all right? What happened to him when he was sold into slavery? Okay, he's put in Potiphar's house. And what else? Somebody else. Tell me something else real quick. Another fact. Was he thrown into jail? Yes, he was thrown into jail. Yep. All right. He told people about their dreams, right? Potiphar, but yeah, he told folks about their dreams. All right. And then he became to be a great man in Egypt, didn't he? God had a purpose for Joseph. God had a purpose all the way from the time that he was thrown down into that pit to the time that he became great in Israel. God had a purpose for Moses, didn't he? Didn't he have a very specific purpose for Moses? What was that purpose? Told you I'm interactive. I'm going to keep picking on you until y'all just keep. Okay, Trevor, give me.
To
lead Israel out of bondage, right? Out of Egypt, to lead them out of bondage. Let's see, who else did God have a purpose for? Can anybody think of anybody else in the Bible that God had a very specific purpose for them to do something? Or was it just those two? Yeah, Andrew. Pretty much like everybody. Give me somebody specific. Come on, somebody you can identify. Abby. David. David had a purpose. What was his purpose? Uh-oh. Okay, he was king. Do you remember that? He was king over Israel, right? He took the place of a king who wasn't a very good king. All right? David had a very specific purpose. Let's see. What about Joshua? Somebody tell me what Joshua did. Yep. He He led the children of Israel into the promised land, right? He took over for Moses, didn't he? Right where Moses left off, Moses wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. Joshua took over. Joshua fulfilled a very specific purpose that God had prepared him for. You know what you're going through right now in this school, in your life, when you go to church, is preparing you for a very specific purpose that God has for you. And you know what? It might be to be a missionary. It might be to be a graphic designer. Purpose is not about what you do for a living. You know that? The Christian life is not about what you do for a living. It's about what you do with your life. I want to say that again. The Christian life is not about what you do for a living. You might be a missionary. You might be a preacher. You might be a pilot in the Air Force. You might be a graphic designer. But the Christian life is not about what you do for a living. It's about what you do with your life. But guess what? I'm not here to talk to you about what God's purpose for your life is. I think it's very, very important. I think it's the most important thing that you can do in your life is to seek after God's will and God's purpose for your life. But that's not really what I'm here to talk to you about. You see, what I'm here to talk to you about, and what the question I want to ask you is, what are you going to purpose to do for God? See, God has a purpose for you. God has a will for you. God had a will and a purpose for Moses, for Joseph, for Gideon, for Joshua, for the Apostle Paul. But that purpose wasn't fulfilled until they all purposed to do something. So my question to you is, what will you purpose to do for God? The definition of the word purpose out of the Webster's Dictionary is to resolve or to determine on some end to be accomplished, okay? The two things I want you to remember, to resolve or to determine. So everybody say those two words. Resolve, determine. Let's do it again. Resolve, determine. So when we see that word purpose, we understand that what that means is that we're going to resolve and that we're going to purpose to do something. We're going to determine to do something, not just say, oh, I think I might study harder this next quarter so that I can make honor roll or so I can make the... No, I'm going to determine that I'm going to study hard and I'm going to get it accomplished. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about a lazy attitude. I got to tell you, folks, this world today, this country today is breeding a whole generation that is lazy, that doesn't want to do work, that doesn't want to determine and purpose to do something. It takes hard work. I ran my first marathon a year and a half ago. I ran some of the marathon. I walked a good portion of the marathon. And let me tell you about determination. As I was coming up, I had 3 miles left. It's 26.2 miles when you run a marathon. I had 3 miles left, and I was struggling. I was in a whole lot of pain. And I'm not. The story is not about me and my personal determination. This story is about me coming across a man who was 75 years old. 75 years old, who had run more than 50 marathons in his life. And let me just show you how he was running. And I'm not trying to be mean or cruel. That's how he was running. Because he had hardly any cartilage left in his right hip. He had hardly any cartilage left in his right knee, which if you understand what that means, every time your foot comes down, you're in tremendous pain because your bones are doing this every single time that foot comes down. 75 years old. But he was determined that he was going to finish this marathon. And I was determined that I was going to throw up because I was only 35 years old and was having a much tougher time than he was. He was determined. What are you going to purpose to do for God? Let me give you some things that you should ponder and consider about purposing and determining to do for God. First of all, will you purpose? The question is, will you purpose to stay close to the Lord? Will you purpose to get close to the Lord and stay close to the Lord? The book of Acts, chapter 11 and verse 23. Go ahead and turn there. Acts 11, 23. Okay, we got to get used to using our sword, right? This is a sword, so let's get there. I know you all do sword drills, don't you? See who can get there fastest. Acts chapter 11, verse 23. Whoever's there, go ahead and read it.
When he came and had seen the grace of God, I was glad and exhorted them all that
okay? Barnabas, when he got there, that with purpose of heart, he said, they would cleave to the Lord. What does it mean to cleave to something? Anybody ever seen a koala bear? On a tree? It cleaves to the tree. Andrew? Yes. To hold tightly to it. It doesn't let go of it. It cleaves to it. Hey, Barnabas said, look, cleave. Purpose in your heart. Determine. What's the two words?
Resolve.
Determine in your heart that you're going to be close to the Lord. Young people, there's nothing better that you can resolve. There's nothing better that you can purpose in your heart. There's nothing better you can determine to do but be close to the Lord. But you can't just determine that you're going to do it and then not press forward. Just like that 75-year-old man running that marathon. Hey, he could have had all the willpower in his mind that he wanted, but if he didn't take the steps to get there, he wasn't going to cross that finish line. Purpose and determine in your heart that you're going to draw close to him, but then take the steps that are necessary to do that. Hey, if you're not reading your Bible every day, start making purpose in your heart. Yeah. Determine in your heart that you're going to read something every single day. Yeah. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, read, give attendance to reading, he said. We need to read God's word, but you need to pray. And I know your principal has been exhorting you this year. And I've heard some marvelous stories. Let me tell you, congratulations for what you're doing in your prayer life, those prayer journals that you're doing. Starting now and developing a habit of praying, that draws you close to the Lord. The book of James, the Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Do you know that's the way that it works? God doesn't ever draw back away from you. God is staying still, wanting you to draw close to Him, but He moves one direction, and that's closer to you. When you move closer to Him, He moves closer to you. When you move farther away from Him, come here, Andrew. Let me show you. You've probably seen this already. Come on. Hurry up. Come here. Stand right there. When Andrew takes a step closer to God, and I'm not trying to be blasphemous, but I'm trying to show you a picture. Andrew takes a step closer. This is what God does. Andrew takes another step closer. This is what God does. Now, Andrew, take a step away. God doesn't take a step away from you. Take another step away. God doesn't take a step away from you. Take another step away. But you can draw farther away from God. But you need a purpose in your heart that you're going to take that step forward closer. God will take that step closer to you. Purpose in your heart. Go ahead and sit down. Thank you. Purpose in your heart that you're going to draw close to God. If you're going to draw close to God, you've got to spend time in His Word. You've got to spend time praying. But there's some other things that we need to purpose. Young people, we got a purpose. My question to you is, will you purpose to speak the right things? Will you purpose to speak the right things? Psalm 17:3. Somebody find it and read it. Psalm 17, verse 3.
Thou hast proved my heart, thou hast visited me in the night, thou hast tried me, and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress.
I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. You go look over in the book of James, and you start reading some things about the tongue. The tongue, the Bible says, is like a fire. And oh, man, can it stir up trouble. The tongue can stir up some trouble. That principal, he yelled at us again today. How many of you have ever said anything like that? I don't like that teacher. I don't like that teacher. I can't believe my parents won't let me do this. I can't believe my parents won't let me do that. Did you see what she was wearing yesterday? Man, he can't shoot basketball to save his life. You can say that about yourself. Just don't say it about other people. Hey, the tongue is like a fire. Young person, will you purpose to not sin with your tongue? That's what David said. I'm not going to I have purposed in my heart. I have resolved and determined that I'm not going to sin with my mouth. Hey, that word's not quite so bad. It's not as bad as others. And don't listen. Don't kid me. I grew up in a Christian school. I know that that kind of stuff still goes on in Christian schools. Yep. I know that people are still going to try to get you to say things that you shouldn't say, even in a Christian school. I was there. But will you purpose in your heart that you will not sin, that you will not transgress with your mouth? Will you purpose in your heart that you're going to keep yourself clean from the world? Turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. Will you purpose in your heart that you'll draw close to the Lord and stay close to the Lord? Will you purpose in your heart that you are not going to sin with your mouth, that you're going to bridle that thing called a tongue? Will you purpose in your heart that you're going to stay clean from this world? I said Daniel chapter 1. Let me get there myself. Now, you all know the story of Daniel, how he was taken captive along with the other children of Israel, right? In verse 4, the Bible talks about children. These are the children of Israel, in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. Go down to verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. You see, Daniel was an Israelite. Daniel was a Jew. Daniel had some laws about what he could and could not eat. And Daniel purposed. Daniel resolved. Daniel determined in his heart that he was not going to defile himself, he said. Hey, it's just food, right? What's the big deal if it's a cow or if it's a pig? That's what the others were doing. All of the other kids, all of the other young men thought it was fine. All of the other young men were taking part in the king's meat and in the king's wine. But Daniel purposed. Daniel resolved. Daniel determined that he was not going to defile himself. My question to you, young people, will you determine? Will you purpose? Will you resolve in your heart that you will not defile yourself with the things of this world? There are a lot of things out there. A lot of things out there that will defile you today. You'll be able to identify them if you're close with the Lord. If you purpose to be close with the Lord, if you purpose to pray, if you purpose to stay in your word, you'll be able to identify what those things are. The question is, will you determine in your own heart that you're going to stay away from them, just like Daniel determined in his heart? And you know the rest of the story. Daniel said, just give us some soup. That's all I want, just some broth. And we'll show you. We'll show you that by sticking with God's word and that by obeying God, we will prosper. And that's exactly what happened. Will you determine that you'll keep yourself clean from this world? Will you purpose to worship God and to serve Him no matter what? How about that? Will you purpose? Will you resolve? Will you determine that you will worship God and serve Him no matter what comes? I want you to really think about that. Think about what I'm asking you right now. Think about this. Will you determine? Will you resolve that no matter what, you will worship and serve God? Turn over just a couple more chapters to chapter 6. These aren't stories that you all are unfamiliar of. I know you all probably know them even better than I do. Daniel chapter 6, not going to take the time to read everything, but in verses 4 through 9, you find the decree that was made. Okay, all of these really jealous guys, they were really jealous that Daniel had been elevated to a position of power and authority in the kingdom, and they tricked King Darius into coming up with a law that said, nobody can pray to any other god but to you. Look at what it says in verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he knew this was a law. He understood what the law meant. The law meant, yep, into the lion's den you go. Daniel knew that. Daniel understood that. When he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. Listen, folks, look up at me. I do not think that any single one of you are ever going to be threatened with being thrown into a den of lions if you pray to the Lord. That's what Daniel faced. You got to understand this. Daniel knew where he was going to go. And what did he do? He went to his house. He flung open those windows and say, look at me, world, in your face. I'm getting on my knees and I am worshiping my God. You might have friends that will laugh at you. You may have parents that will laugh at you. You may, when you get out of this thing called school and get into real life, have people that are going to laugh at you. Is it anywhere near as bad as being thrown into a den of lions? I mean, really? Has anybody here ever been thrown? Let me just check and make sure that hasn't happened to anybody. Has anybody been thrown into a den of lions? Has anybody accidentally fallen into the den of lions over at the zoo? Because that happens sometimes. I just want to make sure nobody here is like that. Would anybody like for that to happen? Is that quite so bad as somebody just making fun of you?
Right.
Young people, you need to determine. You need to resolve. Am I scaring you standing right here? Okay. You need to purpose in your heart that you will worship and serve the Lord no matter what comes. Hey, we've got some great examples. That's why we've got this book. You know that?
Yes.
That's why God's given us these stories, because, listen, folks, we aren't going to face half of what the people in this book faced. And that's to show us that if they did it by the power of God that works through them, we can do it too. There's not too much in this world that can keep us from doing it. There's nothing in this world that can keep us from purposing and determining to live for God. Another thing, check my timer. Will you purpose to keep yourself pure? Will you purpose? Will you resolve and determine right now? I don't mean when the time comes and you're confronted with a situation. Guys, girls, those of you who are dating, those of you who are thinking about dating, which if you ask me is nonsense.
Yeah.
That's just my 2 cents worth, okay? It's nonsense. It does nothing for you.
Right.
It's worthless. It's a waste of time at your age to be involved with that.
Yep.
Okay? Just saying what it is. But will you purpose? Will you determine and resolve right now? Not when you're in the back seat of a car, not when you're in a room somewhere by yourself with a guy or with a girl. I mean right now. Will you determine and will you purpose in your heart that you will keep yourself pure?
Right.
For the Lord,
yeah.
First of all. And for that person that someday, that it is worth taking the time to get to know them a little bit better. It is worth taking the time to figure out if it's somebody that you're going to marry. Listen, you're 12 years old, you ain't going to marry. I'm just here to tell you that right now. Okay? But there's going to come a day when you're going to meet that person. Will you have kept yourself pure for the Lord and for that person? Turn to the book of Genesis. Told you. The Bible is just full of wonderful examples. You name it. Whatever you're going to face in your life, the Bible's got an example for it. Genesis chapter 39. I think we already talked a little bit about this young man, didn't we? Joseph. Verse 9, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? This is exactly what we talked about, Joseph and Potiphar's house. He'd been given charge over the entire house. But one thing that he was not given, and that was Potiphar's wife. I would not give my wife either. Okay? So, he did not have Potiphar's wife. He knew it was sin to do what she wanted him to do. He said, no. Listen, I've determined. I've resolved. I've purposed in my heart that I'm not going to sin against God in this way. Young people, don't let your friends kid you. Don't let your friends kid you. Holding hands is doesn't lead to anything good.
That's right.
That little peck doesn't lead to anything good.
That's right.
That little hug doesn't lead to anything good.
Right.
That little nudging of the shoulders doesn't lead to anything good. Will you determine? Will you purpose? Will you resolve?
Right,
right now, today, that you will keep yourself pure. Hey, Joseph landed himself in jail. Didn't look like things worked out too well for him at that time, did it? But then he ended up second in command, the entire nation of Egypt. He saved. We talked about God's purpose for Joseph's life, right?
Yep.
He was responsible for saving the entire nation of Israel.
Yes.
Because he purposed, he determined, and he resolved in his heart that he was not going to sin against God, that he was going to keep himself pure. Lastly, will you purpose to do something mighty for the Lord? Will you determine, will you resolve that you will do something great for the Lord? We talked about what do you want to do when you get out of school. Remember what I said. Christian life. Not too early. The Christian life is not about what you do for a living, remember? The Christian life is about what you do with your life. Will you determine? Go ahead and pay attention to me. I know there's stuff going on back there. I don't know what it is, but let's listen. Will you determine? Will you purpose right now that you'll do something great for the Lord? Many of you all know who King Solomon is. Who was he? Who was King Solomon? Andrew? Okay, he was David's son. He built the first temple. Let's turn over to 1 Kings chapter 5. Look at verse 4. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. And behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. Solomon purposed to do something pretty great for the Lord. You see, David, it was David's dream to have a temple built, a tabernacle, a place built for the Lord. But Solomon purposed. Solomon determined in his heart that he was going to do it. And it's the determination that was followed up by taking some steps to have that done. Hey, he cashed in some checks with some folks that he knew is what he did. He went out and he got some favors. Hey, remember this? Let me get this in return. He got some wood. He got some gold. He got some silver. He got the things that he needed to get it done, and he got it done. 7 years in the building. Hey, it wasn't an easy thing. Doing something great for the Lord isn't an easy thing. It's not a quick thing. 7 years it took him to build that temple. But he did, because he purposed and he determined that he was going to do something great for the Lord. Hey, something great for the Lord might be talking to your friend, your lost friend, that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Something great for the Lord might be talking to them and witnessing to them. Will you determine in your heart that you're going to do that? Something great for the Lord might be going out and being a missionary, going into the sticks of Papua New Guinea and speaking to folks that have never even seen a white person before.
Right.
That might be something great for the Lord. Something great for the Lord is going all the way back to the very first verse that we started with. I beseech you, therefore, brethren and sisters. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's something great for the Lord, young people. If you can get a hold of that now, oh, don't waste time. Don't waste time. You can talk to me, you can talk to my wife, you can talk to your principal. Every single one of us, in our lives, we've wasted time.
Yep.
I regret the time that I wasted not serving the Lord. I regret the times when I had no purpose, when I wasn't determined when I wasn't determined to speak the right things, when I wasn't determined to be close to the Lord, when I wasn't determined that I was going to stay away from this world, when I wasn't determined that I was going to do something great for the Lord. Hey, I regret those times. You don't have to.
That's right.
You don't ever have to get to that place. You don't have to be 37 years old looking back and regretting some time wasted. You can determine right now that you're going to do these things for the Lord. You can purpose it in your heart. Can you do it on your own? I hope you don't think that you can. I hope you don't think that it's just as simple as what I've made it sound like today and just making up your mind and then go and do it. Hey, you need the Lord. You need the Lord. But the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But if you never purpose, if you never determine, if you never resolve to do any of these things that we've talked about today, then it's not going to happen. Success doesn't come by accident. You know that?
That's right.
Success doesn't come by accident. How many of you all know who LeBron James is? Please raise your hand, because I want to know who does not. All right. LeBron James, one of the greatest basketball players that this world has ever seen. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that that success came about one day when LeBron woke up and said, hey, I think I'm going to go play in the NBA? Do you think LeBron James never showed up on the court to practice? Do you think LeBron James never determined to accomplish certain things in his life? Do you think that he never determined that he was going to be a success in basketball? You're foolish if you think that he never thought that. Success does not come about by accident. Success comes about by determining that you're going to do something, by purposing in your heart that you're going to do something. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua was told that by obeying God's word, that by always keeping God's word in front of him, he would have good success. Success is not measured in the number of dollars that you gain in a year by playing a professional sport, by how many Nike ads you do. Success is determined. Success is determined for the Christian about how closely they follow this God's word. Will you purpose in your heart? Will you determine? Will you resolve that you will do the things that we've talked about today? Will you do something great for the Lord? I got to tell you, we need your generation to do something great for the Lord.
That's right.
I don't know if y'all have noticed, but things aren't real good out there. A lot of that is because my generation has not determined that we will do something great for the Lord. We need you.
Yep.
We need you. 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 We need you to purpose that you'll do something great for the Lord. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day that you've given. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the examples that we have. It's amazing to me the number of examples that you have given to us. Lord, we think that we're here on this world sometimes all by ourselves, but it just takes up a couple of minutes of reading your word to find out that other people have gone before us and faced the same things. Lord, I'm thankful for these young people. Lord, they're good kids. They have a good testimony, a good example. Lord, help them. Help them to purpose. Help them to determine in their hearts that they will serve you, to determine that they'll draw close to you, to determine that they'll stay away from this world, that they'll keep themselves pure, that they'll guard their tongues. Lord, help them to purpose in their heart that they'll do something great for you. Lord, I pray that you'd help them. Even as they're getting ready to have time off of school, they'll be going back home. They'll be spending time with their friends. Lord, help them to determine, help them to purpose that they'll do what's right. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be here. I pray your blessing on each and every one of these kids, Lord, these young men, these young women, as they go forth and finish the rest of this school year. Help them to have good success. But help them to seek after you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good job. Let's give them a hand. Yeah. All right. I like that. Good job. Austin, you and go ahead and turn that off. Come down here for just one.